Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschata Tejatarini Soma Gana Timidandasya Gananjana Shalakya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torch light of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're continuing with our study of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we're right now hearing about the discussion between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, and this discussion is technically called the Ramananda Samvada. And in this particular discussion, Lord Chaitanya, who is the source of all knowledge, is taking the position of a servant, and Ramananda Roy is taking the position of the teacher. So, servant, student versus teacher. And actually, Lord Chaitanya is asking questions of the teacher. And actually, Lord Chaitanya is the ultimate teacher. And so these questions are called rhetorical questions. That's a fancy word for all of you, which means the teacher asks questions because the teacher knows what the answer is. However, the teacher is trying to draw out the answer from the student, and therefore he treats the student like the teacher. I hope that is understandable. Anyway, so in any case, Ramananda Roy is giving instruction to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya is questioning every step along the way. Yesterday, we came across Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first question, you know, what is the ultimate goal and what is the process for achieving the ultimate goal? And Ramananda Roy explained that actually if one follows the Varnashram Dharma system, then one will achieve the ultimate goal, which is Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu objected to that particular explanation and said, this is simply external. Not that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was decrying Varnashram. He wasn't saying, you know, throw away Varnashram. But he was saying that Varnashram is not the method to achieve the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness. Although Varnashram should be followed, maybe not in a ritualistic sense that you've got to label everybody as Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but in the sense that everybody gets to do what they can do or do the work that there is accustomed to their psychophysical nature. So that's the whole sense of Varnashram. So, but it won't get you to Krishna consciousness, because even if you do your duty according to your psychophysical nature, you can still be a karmi, you could be a jnani, you could still remain in the material world birth after birth. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rejecting that particular explanation and description by Ramananda Roy. And so now we're going to get to the next question and the next answer. So let's share the screen. All right. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So, give me 1 second. All right, just turn my video for a second. All right, turn it back on. Here we go. So, we're continuing with text 60 of the 8th chapter of the Madhya Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as I explained before, just rejected Ramananda Roy's explanation of Varnashram being the methodology to achieve spiritual success. It's not. Varnashrama is the methodology to keep society peaceful so that everybody has their needs, material needs, taken care of. But Varnashram does not necessarily enable people's spiritual needs to be taken care of. That's very, very important. And one who is on the highest platform of devotional service is above Varnashram, although that person will act in terms of Varnashram to set an example for others, as Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita. What does he say? Yad yad charati shreshtas tatat ivetru janaha. As great souls act, everyone else follows. Actually, recently we've been studying the Ramayana and seeing how Lord Ramchandra was ready to sacrifice everything to carry out his duty as the emperor, even satisfied or sacrificed his own happiness in terms of his wife, Sita Devi. So this is a perfect example. You know, if one wants Ram Raj, one needs a Raj or a king like Lord Ramchandra. At least a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, of course, one of the devotees, Jai Radhika, just said it's the Pani Hati Utsavah right now. Yes, it is. We're not going to be speaking about that right now. In about an hour from now, on the same channel, that is YouTube, Facebook, and also Zoom, we're going to give a class at a program here about the Pani Hati Festival. But tonight we're just going to deal with this class. We're just going to deal with the Chaitanya Charitamrita reading. Okay, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has rejected Varnashram as the means to achieve the goal. And Lord Chaitanya says, tell me something else. And Ramananda Roy is replying, you know, to give the results of your activities to Krishna. And then Ramananda Roy quotes this verse, famous verse, from the Bhagavad Gita. And we're going to continue with text 60. Yat karoshi adashnashi yajyohoshi dadhasiyat yatapashyashi konteya tatkurushva badarpanam. Everybody knows the translation of this. Ramananda Roy continued, my dear son of Kunti, this is of course Krishna speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, and whatever austerities you perform, all the results of such activities should be offered to me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada explains in his purport, the Lord has said that the Varnashram Dharma is not properly executed in this age of Kali. Therefore, he ordered Ramananda Roy to go further into the matter. Ramananda Roy replied with this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, text 27, which instructs that while remaining in the system of Varnashram Dharma, one may offer the results of his activities to Lord Sri Krishna in loving service. Naturally, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Roy about the execution of devotional service. Ramananda Roy first enunciated the principle of Varnashram Dharma in consideration of materialistic people. However, this conception is not transcendental. As long as one is in the material world, he must follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma, but devotional service is transcendental. So here Prabhupada is saying that one should follow Varnashram Dharma just to keep everything regulated, but that's not devotional service. Devotional service is something apart from Varnashram Dharma. The system of Varnashram Dharma refers to the three modes of material nature, but transcendental devotional service is on the absolute platform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu belongs to the spiritual world, and his methods for propagating the Sankirtan movement are also imported from the spiritual world. Srila Narottamadas Thakur has sung Golokera Premadana Huri Nama Sankirtana Ratina Janmila Kene Taya. So basically he says, let me translate it first before Prabhupada gives his translation. He says, this chanting of Hare Krishna comes, which is full of the wealth of love of Krishna, comes from the spiritual world. Golokera Premadana Hurinam Sankirtana Ratinajan Mila canine diet. And therefore, but unfortunately, I have no taste for it. This is what Narottama Das Thakur is saying out of his vast humility. This states that the Sankirtan movement has nothing to do with this material world. It is imported from the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavana. Narottama Das Thakur laments that mundane people do not take this Sankirtan movement seriously. Considering the position of devotional service and the Sankirtan movement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deemed the system of Varnashram Dharma to be material, although it aims at elevation to the spiritual platform. However, the Sankirtan movement can raise one immediately to the spiritual platform. Consequently, it is said that Varnashram Dharma is external, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Ramananda Roy to proceed deeper into the matter and uncover the spiritual platform. Sometimes materialists consider Lord Vishnu a material conception. And personalists think that above Lord Vishnu is the impersonal Brahman. The impersonalists misunderstand the worship of Lord Vishnu. They worship Lord Vishnu to merge into his body. In order that Vishnu Aradhana not be misunderstood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested that Sri Ramananda Roy proceed further and clear up the issue. Ramananda Roy quoted the verse from the Bhagavad Gita stating that the results of one's occupational duty may be offered to Lord Vishnu or Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8, it is also said, Dharma swanashita kum punsam bishaksena kata suya not padiyed yadi aratim shama evi kevalam. If one executes the occupational duties of Varnashram Dharma but does not cultivate his dormant Krishna consciousness, his activities are futile. His occupation simply becomes unnecessary labor. Now, Lord Chaitanya is replying to this explanation. Prabhukahi, eho bhaiya, agi kaha ara. Raya kahi, swadharma tyaga, e sadya sara. This is also external, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Please proceed and speak further on this matter. And then Ramananda Roy replied, to give up one's occupational duties in the Varnashram system is the essence of perfection. Now, let me explain why this is external. Why that's external? You know, it's Krishna's injunction in the Gita. How can you say it's external? Krishna says, all that you do, all that you offer, all that you eat should be done as an offering to me. How can that be external? Well, it can be external, or it could also be internal. But usually the people who follow that particular injunction, they follow it without the internal aspect, just the external aspect. What do I mean by that? They offer things to Krishna because they're engaged in karma mijra bhakti. Karma mijra bhakti means that people worship Krishna for something of this world. And, of course, many of you are familiar with this. That's why you have Satya Narayan Katha. What is Satya Narayan Katha? When people tell stories about how this person worshipped Vishnu or that person worshipped Krishna and they got this and that and this and that. One of the favorite stories that people tell is the story of Sudama Brahman. And that enlivens a lot of people. And of course, I like the story because it's Krishna with his pure devotee and Krishna is reciprocating with his pure devotee. No problem with the story. But people become enlivened because they hear Sudama Brahman gave Krishna a few pieces of broken rice and then ended up with a mansion, a swimming pool, cars in his garage. Now, I'm adding a few things. He ended up with all this opulence and servants galore. So people get very enthusiastic. Oh, I give to Krishna. Then if I do my duty for Krishna, give everything to Krishna, I will get much more. And you may find many injunctions like this in the Vedic literatures, that if you serve Krishna, you get rewarded so many times. You serve a pure Vaishnava, you get rewarded so many times. That's called karma mijra bhakti. What that means, mijra means mixed. Karma means with something you want of this world. So your bhakti is mixed. It's better than nothing, but it's mixed. So Lord Chaitanya is rejecting that. Not that he's rejecting the point of whatever you offer, whatever you give away should be done as an offering to Krishna, and whatever you eat should be done as an offering to Krishna. He's not rejecting that point, but he's rejecting that as pointing out pure devotional service. It's preliminary to pure devotional service. It's a stepping stone to pure devotional service. Just like Varnashram is a stepping stone to keeping society peaceful so the people can execute devotional service without getting all disturbed. Okay. So let's read this next verse. Lord Chaitanya said, this is also external, talking about Yad Kuroshi Yad Ashnashi. Please proceed and speak further in the matter. Ramananda Roy replied, to give up one's occupational duties in the Varnashram system is the essence of perfection. Just renounce, become an avaduta. So Prabhupada explains, a Brahmin may renounce his family and accept sannyas. Other kshatriyas and vaishyas may also give up their families and take to Krishna consciousness. Such renunciation is called karma tyaga. That means giving up one's work. Tyaga. By such renunciation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied. In contrast, the process of renouncing the results of one's activities by offering these results to Krishna is not considered uncontaminated because, although such a process implies that one recognizes Krishna as the Supreme Person, it still involves one in activities of the material platform. Since such activities are within the material universe, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered them external because the motivation was not pure. If the motivation is pure, then it's not simply external. To correct this, Ramananda Roy recommended that one take to the renounced order of life in order to transcend material activities. This is supported by the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:32. Dharman satyajya yaksaravan mam bhajet sajasattamaha. Ramananda Roy continued, occupational duties are described in religious scriptures. If one analyzes them, he can fully understand their qualities and faults and then give them up completely to render service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a person is considered a first-class man. So what you see here is Ramananda Roy, as many people do, taking verses out of context in the Bhagavatam or from the Bhagavatam or from the Bhagavad Gita or from other Vedic literatures to prove a particular point. We've seen people do this again and again. Of course, Ramananda Roy is doing this. It's a pastime between him and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we've seen people do this again and again when they're having philosophical discussions. It is very interesting. Like right now we have this discussion, many discussions on the internet. But one discussion we're having on the internet is a GBC discussion. This is not confidential because everybody knows about it. Is can women become gurus? So some people will have their, everybody has their favorite quote. And they embark upon quote fights. This is my quote. You are wrong. And another person will say, this is my quote. And they're throwing quotes at each other, repeating their quotes, and deluging the other person in so many quotes that the other person just like drowns in this quote ocean. Anyway, that's called vitanda. That is not actually a method to arrive at a conclusion. One has to understand the purpose of the Vedic literatures. What is the purpose of the Vedic literatures? To know Krishna. Vedais jasavayar ameva veda. By all the Vedas I'm to be known, Krishna says. So in order to know Krishna, one has to know which verses to apply, how to apply them, when they're applicable, when they're not applicable, what age we're in, what is the culture that we're in. I mean, it's a very complicated thing, but most devotees don't understand that. They simply take the verses out of context, verbatim. and don't understand the purpose behind it. That's why it's stated what? Targo prachishta shuti na vibina. What does that mean? That one cannot understand the absolute truth or how to present the absolute truth by argumentation, nor by studying the Vedic literatures, but only by Mahajaniyena Gata Sapanta, only by following the footsteps of great personalities. So here's Ramananda Roy presenting another point of view which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will reject. Sarva, and he's even giving a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, which we're going to read right now. Sarva dharman purachaja mamikam sharanam braja aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. As stated in scripture, Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, text 66, after giving up all kinds of religious and occupational duties, if you come to me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and take shelter, I will give you protection from all of life's sinful reactions. Do not worry. In this connection, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami instructs in his book, The Mana Shiksha, number 2, Nadharmam nadharmam shruti gana niruptam kila kuru Raje Radha Krishna prachura paricharyam yaha tanu. He has thus enjoined that we should not perform religious or irreligious activities as prescribed in the Vedas. The best course is to engage always in the service of Lord Krishna and Radharani. That is the perfection of everything in this life. Similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th chapter, text 29, text 46, it is said by Narada Muni, Yadayashanu grinhati bhagavanatma bhavitaha sajahati matim loke vedecha parinishtitam. When one actually takes to the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he gives up all duties in the material world as well as all duties prescribed in the Vedic literatures. In this way, one is fixed in the service of the Lord. In other words, accepting everything, this is Sharanagati, accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable. It's not that one disobeys the Vedic literatures, but one understands which injunctions to follow and which injunctions not to follow, what injunctions are details and what injunctions are principles, in order to, Sharanagati, accept everything favorable for serving the Lord and reject everything unfavorable. Now Lord Chaitanya is saying something. Prabhu kahi eho maya age kaha ara raya kahi jnanam isra bhakti sadya sara. After hearing Ramananda Roy speak in this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again rejected his statement, saying, go ahead and say something more. Ramananda Roy replied, devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge is the essence of perfection. Of course, this is called Jnana Mishra Bhakti. And it's explained here. Devotional service mixed with non-Vedic speculative knowledge is certainly not pure devotional service. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his Anubhasha preaches that self-realization following the execution of ritualistic ceremonies is in the neutral stage between liberation and conditional life. It is the place beyond this material world in the river Viraja, causal ocean, where the three modes of material nature are subdued or neutralized in the unmanifest stage. However, the spiritual world is a manifestation of spiritual energy and is known as Vaikuntha Loka, the place where there is no anxiety. The material world, known as Brahmanda, is the creation of the external energy. Between the two creations, the material creation and the spiritual creation, is a river known as Viraja, as well as a place known as Brahmaloka. Viraja Nadi and Brahmaloka are shelters for living entities disgusted with material life and inclined to impersonal existence by way of denying material variegatedness. So Viraja is the causal ocean, and Brahmaloka is not the place where Lord Brahma resides, it's the Brahma effulgence, which the impersonalists merge into. They don't actually merge, and ultimately they fall back down to this material sphere because they are spirit souls with inherent natures that require activity. Since these places are not situated in the Vaikuntha Lokas of the spiritual world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaims them to be external. In other words, it's not that once one goes there, one never returns. We can say once one goes there, one returns. But in the spiritual realm, the Vaikuntha Lokas, Yadgatva Nani Bhartante Tadama Paramamama, one doesn't return from the spiritual world. In the Brahmaloka and Virajanadi, one cannot conceive of the Vaikuntha Lokas. Brahmaloka and Virajanadi are also difficult or attained after difficult austerities, but in these realms there is no understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and its transcendental loving service. Without such spiritual knowledge, simple detachment from material conditions is but another side of material existence. From the spiritual point of view, it is all external. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this proposal, Ramananda Roy suggested that devotional service based on philosophy and logic is a more advanced position. He therefore quoted the following verse from the Bhagavad Gita 18:54. Very, very interesting. This is also external. It may be a stepping stone, but it's also external. Brahmabhuta, a very famous verse, 1854. Brahmabhuta prasanatmanta shochachina kankshati samaksarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate puram. Ramananda Roy continued, according to the Bhagavad Gita, one who is thus transcendentally situated once realizes the Supreme Brahman becomes fully joyful. He never laments to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. And Prabhupada explains in this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that a person who accepts the theory of monism, that means everything is one, and that's what you get from empiric philosophical speculation, being always engaged in empiric philosophical discussions about the spiritual life, becomes joyful and is relieved from all material lamentation and hankering. At that stage, so it's a neutral stage. It's not that you have bliss, you simply have the sat aspect of the Lord, which is the eternal aspect. One is equal poise. He sees all living entities as spiritual beings. After attaining this elevated stage, one can attain pure devotional service. It can be utilized as a prerequisite. However, you don't need to go through that prerequisite. You can actually go directly to devotional service. Harinam, Harinam. Harinam, Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Stavana, 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 Gathiranyata, just by chanting the Lord's holy names. The conclusion is that devotional service mixed with ritualistic fruitive activity is inferior to spiritual service based on empiric philosophical discussion. So Lord Chaitanya is going to reject this too. Prabhukahi, that means Lord Chaitanya said, Ehubaya, Age Kaha Ara, Raya Kahi, Jnana, Shunya, Bhakti, Saja, Sara. After hearing this, the Lord, as usual, rejected it, considering it to be external devotional service. He again asked Ramananda Roy to speak further, and Ramananda Roy replied, pure devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection. So this is the beginning of actual spiritual pure devotional service, an explanation of pure devotional service. Lord Chaitanya is going to accept this. But he wants Ramananda Roy to go even higher than this, but he's not going to reject this. In his Anubhashya commentary, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the stage of devotional service mixed with speculative knowledge, that's called Jnana Mishra Bhakti, is also external, which we heard about previously, and not within the jurisdiction of pure devotional services practiced in Vaikuntha Loka. As soon as there is some conception of materialistic thought, be it positive or negative, the service is not spiritual. Now, let me explain that. So let's say, you want, that's karma misra bhakti, that's positive. I want this from Krishna, I want that, I want profit, adoration, distinction, I want to become famous, I want material goods. Negative is, I want to give it all up, I want to come free from that, I want to become like prasanatma. Prasanatma means, basically, taking pleasure in the self. That service is not spiritual, because why? It is based upon what? Me, what I want. It's still self-centered, selfish. It may be free from material contamination, but because there is mental speculation, the devotional service is not pure and freed from the contamination of material life. A living entity who wants to be completely pure must be above this material conception. In other words, above the acceptance of material sense grade or rejection of it. We don't reject it and we don't accept it. We accept Krishna. And the service to Krishna, accept everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable. Those are the two principles, two of the six principles of Sharanagati. The negation of material existence does not necessarily mean spiritual existence. After material existence is negated, spiritual existence, namely Satchitananda, still may not be manifested. Phew, you may just have the sat aspect until one comes, and not the chit or ananda. Sat means eternal, chit means knowledge, ananda means bliss. Until one comes to the stage of actually understanding one's eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, he cannot enter into spiritual life. This is a very interesting statement. Until one actually comes to the stage, or comes to the stage of actually understanding one's eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, he cannot enter into spiritual life. In other words, the first point in spiritual life, just the entry point, is understanding Jivaro Swaroop Bhoy Nitya Krishna Das. I'm a servant of Krishna. And as you progress, you begin to understand specifically what type of servant you are of Krishna in one of the five, or let's say four different rasas. There's five rasas, but in the Shanta rasa, there's no servitude. Spiritual life means becoming detached from material life and engaging in loving service of the Lord. So one becomes detached from material life, not by negating it, but by accepting spiritual life, and then everything else becomes uninteresting. That's called a higher taste. And Bhagavad Gita talks about this. Raso Varjam Racho Prasha Param Drishtra Divartite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore asked Ramananda Roy to explain something transcendental to devotional service mixed with speculative knowledge. A pure devotee is completely surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, and only by his love does he conquer Krishna, who cannot be conquered by anyone. Krishna is called Ajita, which means unconquerable. But Krishna's jitta is conquered by his devotee. Krishna always stands victorious over everything. No one can conquer him. One can attain the stage of pure devotion simply by fully surrendering. This is next corroborated by Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Lord Brahma, defeated by the potency of Sri Krishna, fully surrendered unto the Lord. This is actually a beautiful verse. Another famous verse. Yane priyasam mudapasya namantakeva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadivartam stane stita shudigatam tanvan manubhir ye priyasto jitachitopyasi taistri lokyam. Ramananda Roy continued, Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal conception of the absolute truth and have therefore abandoned discussing empiric philosophical truths should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. They should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and animal slaughter. Surrendering themselves fully with body, mind, and words, or body, words, and mind, they can live in any ashram or social status. Indeed, you are always conquered by such persons, although you are always unconquerable. So this is an instruction similar to the instruction that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Kurma Brahman, who wanted to follow him. He said, Stanishtata. Shutikatam, Tanvan Manobir, stay where you are, but not only stay where you are, but preach Krishna consciousness. Yare Degatari Kara Krishna Padesh Marigai Guru Hoy Tare Desh. So Lord Chaitanya is stating here, Prabhu Kahe Ehohaya Agi Kaha Ara Raya Kahe Prema Bhakti Sarva Sajak Sara. At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, this is all right, but still you can speak more on the subject. So in other words, Lord Chaitanya agreed with this, and what Ramananda Roy spoke previously is very similar to the nutshell verse in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anya Vilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmanavratam, Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Rutamam. What does that verse say? That Krishna consciousness is devoid of any desire for subtle or gross sense gratification. That is karma misra bhakti, jnana misra bhakti, and the active quality or principle of devotional service is to serve Krishna actively, doing what Krishna wants and being very happy and doing it devotionally, not resentfully. So, Lord Chaitanya is approving of this. Ramananda Roy says, ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all perfection. So, first there's pure devotional service, which Lord Chaitanya accepted. And then Ramananda Roy is saying, well, even higher than that is ecstatic love, you know, bhava, bhakti. And as Amrita Pravaha Vasha, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes the conversation up to this point, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Ramananda Roy, Eho Bahaya. Agikara, no, sorry, Gaha Ara. This is the process accepted in devotional service, but there's something more than this. Please, therefore, explain what is beyond. Simply executing the duties of all varnas and ashrams is not as good as offering the results of one's activities to the Lord. So he's going back a little bit. When one gives up all fruit of activity and fully surrenders to the Lord, he attains swadharma tyaga, that means giving up his dharma, wherein he abandons the social order and takes the renounced order. That is certainly better. However, better than the renounced order is cultivation of knowledge mixed with devotional service. Yet all these activities are external to the activities of the spiritual world. There's no touch of pure devotional service in them. Pure devotional service cannot be attained by empiric knowledge, that means philosophical speculation, or material knowledge, material logic. Nor can perfection be attained simply by good association. Now, we're talking about good association in the material world. You can attain perfection by good association with pure devotees. Devotional service by self-realization is a different subject matter. It is untouched by fruit of activity. That means desire for something gross, you know, something that's tangible, something that's empirical, in which one surrenders the results of one's activities to the Lord, and also by the process of abandoning one's prescribed duties and accepting the renounced order of life. Such devotional service is also situated on a higher platform than that of empiric philosophical speculation with a mixture of bhakti. This is verified by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. And this is the verse I just quoted for all of you. Anyabhi lashita shunyam gyanakarma navritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam Bhaktir Uttamam. And it's also cited in the Majjhima 19.167. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruit of activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Devotional activities, however, sometimes appear to be impure in the neophyte stage, but in the mature stage, they are completely pure or free from material activity. Therefore, Ramananda Roy replied, after hearing the last statement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prema Bhakti Sarva Sajaksara is the goal. All Saja means goal. It is Sarva. It is the overall goal. Prema Bhakti, that means pure love of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually accepted this verse, Gane Priyasam, as the basic principle of perfection. One has to practice this principle in order to make further progress. When further progress is actually made, one comes to the platform of ecstatic loving service to the Lord. This first stage is technically called sadhana bhakti, or devotional service and practice. The result of sadhana bhakti must be ecstatic love attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is also called prema bhakti. In the neophyte stage, sadhana bhakti includes faith, association with devotees, and practicing devotional service. So here Prabhupada is hinting at the different stages in advancement. Adoshradatata, sadhusangota, bhajana kriya. In the beginning, you have a little bit of faith, you associate with the sadhus, and when you associate with the sadhus, you begin to execute, practice devotional service, which is bhajana kriya, the activities of devotional service, and then you become free from anarthas. Thus one is free, here Prabhupada says the same thing, from all unwanted things. One then becomes fixed in devotional service and increases his desire to act in devotional service, thus one becomes attached to the Lord and his devotional service. So let me explain what is going on here. Oh, first Ramananda Roy explained Varnashram Dharma, which is simply external. And then he talked about giving the results of your activities to Krishna, which you probably have some motivation in doing. Then he talked about giving up, the second one is to renounce, First one is Varnashram Dharma. Second one is to renounce Varnashram Dharma and become a sannyasi and renunciate. Third one is to give up the results of your activities to Krishna, but that's not yet pure devotional service because many people who give up the results of their activities to Krishna are doing so. It's called Karma Mishra Bhakti. The next stage after that is to Jnana Mishra Bhakti, is to cultivate knowledge and become renounced from this material world. And execute Jnana Mishra Bhakti, that means bhakti mixed with empiric speculation or empiric knowledge for the purpose of getting liberated. And then Lord Ramananda Roy arrived at the point of pure devotional service. And then Lord Chaitanya said, go a little further. And Ramananda Roy said, devotional service in ecstasy. Okay. That's where we are now. So let's see. I think we have to end. Okay, so we're going to take some questions right now. I have to end exactly on the hour because I have another program downstairs. Let me stop sharing, and then we will take some questions. Let me unmute you so we can take some questions. Okay, who has a question? Speak now. We only have a few minutes because I have this program downstairs.
Okay, I have a question. Go ahead.
Okay, so ask your question.
My question is, like, Varnashram Dharma has a two side. One is a social and one is a spiritual side. Spiritual is a brahmachari and then going to the sannyas. So if I am performing Varnashram Dharma according to the spiritual side, how can it be external?
Well, because there are many ritualistic brahmanas, there are many ritualistic brahmacharis, there are many ritualistic grahasthas, there are many ritualistic vanaprasthas. Because try to understand, how does Prabhupada here, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, define materialistic? There's two versions of materialism. One is that you're doing your activities in Varnashram for some fruitive gain. That means some empirical, I don't want to say practical, but things you can touch, things. Like, I'm executing Varnashram so that I have a nice house, a nice family, a nice this, a nice that. And another material, let us say, motivation is to do Varnashram. And that's in accord, that means all the eight different aspects of Varnashram, including the ashrams, do them for the desire to get free of the material world. So it's not that every brahmachari, there's many impersonal brahmacharis, or brahmacharis following the impersonalistic process. There's many sannyasis following the impersonalistic process. There's many grahasas following the impersonalistic process. And there's many vanaprasthas following the impersonalistic process. So under the guise of Varnashram, there can be many different motivations, even in the ashrams. Motivations or philosophical understandings. It's not that all the different participants in the ashram or the ashrams have the same philosophical understanding as presented in Krishna consciousness. All right? Anyway, but first become a good brahmacharya, grahastha, vanaprastha, or sannyas, then we'll talk about it. I mean, the funny thing is everybody asks about these things, but it's very hard to find someone even following Varnashram properly. So, anyway. So who else has a question?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Nalini Kant. Okay, what's your question?
Gurudev, like when we read Brahmana qualities and Devaniya qualities, when I try to match that, there is not even a single Brahmana quality within me. So, still, I got your mercy that I got initiated, second initiation, and performing like a deity worship and things. So, is it right? I don't find any qualities in me.
Well, you're humble. But anyway, you're supposed to develop those qualities because those qualities come from the mode of goodness and they're pleasing to Krishna. Those qualities are sama dhammak dhipak chocham shantir arjava. You have to train yourself to be equipoised. Equipoise happiness and distress. Do you ever get upset?
Yes, Gurudev.
Do you ever get angry?
Yes, Gurudev.
So you have to learn how to control vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam. And when do you ever get angry and yell at people?
Yes, Gurudev.
I mean, you opened yourself up for these particular questions. So you have to learn how to control these different responses. And that's Brahman. So you want to be a real Brahman, a Brahman Vaishnava, not just a Brahman, because a Brahman can also be a non-Vaishnava. Then you really have to dive deeply into the chanting of the holy name and also be introspective and also try your best to control the pushings and pullings of these different elements, the mind, body, words, tongue, belly, genitals. So the first point of a Brahman is he's equipoised, equipoised sama. The second point is he's sense controlled. Sense controlled means a Brahman doesn't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. Do you ever eat too much?
Yes, Gurudev. I try not to, but I always can't control. I'm trying my best,
What
but
you have to think. In other words, here's the secret to control the senses, to be a Brahmin. You have to think, my identity is to serve Krishna. What would Krishna want right now? Every minute of the day, a devotee ultimately has to come to the point of thinking, what does Krishna want me to do? What does Krishna want me to say? What does Krishna want me to eat? What decision does Krishna want me to make? And if you think like that, automatically your senses come under control. You're tolerating the pushes of the senses. That's the secret. It's done out of bhakti. Like, this is what I do in my relationship with Srila Prabhupada. I'm thinking, like, what would Prabhupada want me to do? I may have impulses to do so many things. Like today, I mean, today I was walking in a property and I saw that two people had come with motorcycles on the property. And because I used to ride a motorcycle, I was thinking, wow, maybe I should borrow it and just go for a ride and have a good time. So there was the impulse there. Because I used to drive motorcycles in India also. I was really bold. I would drive motorbikes in India. Can you imagine that?
I saw one of your video, Gurudev.
I know. So I had the impulse, but then I thought, would Prabhupada want me to do this? Would Prabhupada want me to risk my life? And then I thought, even though I want to do this, Prabhupada doesn't want me to do it. So based upon that particular standard, I didn't do it. And it would have been, I mean, it would have been fun. And the devotees, all my disciples, would have taken out their cameras and taken a picture of Guru Maharaj riding around town on a motorcycle. I didn't do it. So that's the standard for Vaishnavism. That if we want to be a Brahmin, it has to be done out of bhakti. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Because to please Krishna, accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable. So at every minute we should be thinking, anyabhi lajita shunyam gyana karma anavritam anagu yena krishnana shilanam bhakti rutamam. Just thinking, what does Krishna want me to do or not do? What decision does Krishna want me to take? And in this way, we'll be immersed in bhakti. So I have to end now because I have a program downstairs and people are waiting and we are at someone's house and we're gonna go online in a second for this other program, so don't worry. We're gonna go off now.
Yes.
And if you stay online, maybe I won't knock everybody off, then in about 5 minutes I'm gonna go on Zoom again and then you'll be able to see the program. Okay. And that program will be about Panihati Chida Utsava. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All right. Let me just assign someone. From my class, yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah! I want you to put that on there. Can you put it to the side so no one can step on it? Okay. Hare Krishna, okay. All right, so let me get the guitar tuned. Good to see everybody. Gotta tune this again. We just finished. We have a evening class every night from 5 to 6. And so this is a continuation on Zoom. We get usually about 35, 40 people every evening watching the class. It's a Chaitanya Charitamrita reading and commentary. And we started with, of course, Adi Leela. We're up to Madhulila chapter 8 at this point. So we go systematically through the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just give me a second to tune this thing. We go systematically through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, explaining all the different points and reading the purports and the commentaries. Should we start? Okay, so what song would you all like to hear? okay, this is this evening we're going to be speaking about the Panihati Festival, since today is the commemoration of the Panihati Festival of Raghunath Das Goswami and Lord Nityananda, so we're going to tell some of the stories from there. So, any special song? No? Hare Krishna.
And after all your songs, Maharaj,
if
you can have a
Narsimha Dev
prayer.
All right, we have a Narsimha Dev prayer. Cartels, just drum. Drum is fine. Actually, I should use a microphone so I don't burn out my voice. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. Hey. Okay. Shunyavani, Asya Chalade is a town name.
Krishna, Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Yeah, I'll show it to you later. It collapses.
Is that a new one?
What was it, right?
Traveling guitar.
Yeah, this comes off.
Wow.
Traveling.
It's a traveling guitar. Yeah, this comes off. I'll show you later after I'm finished. This comes off and all folds into a little case. Okay, let me just mute my participants here because we've got a lot of people watching. We don't want them to talk to each other, which sometimes happens in Zoom. If I don't mute everybody, they all start chatting with each other. And we don't like that. supposed to listen to me. Not chat with each other. All right. Okay, you want it in the Shingle prayers. Slightly out of tune. Let me tune this again. Just give me one second.
Okay.
Acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrind ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Se Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Siddhwaita Gadadhar Sivasidigaur Bhakta Vrind ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopikabadas, Shyam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavanam kijai, Maturam kijai, Jagadathasami kijai, Yumanamai kijai, Shimari Glossy Devi kijai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrinda kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the sum of the devotees, all glories the sum of the devotees, all glories the sum of the devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimati Bhaktivinanta Swamini Kinamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nivashesha Sunyapadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. So, Igurave Namaha. Just want to make sure everyone on the internet can see me. So, we're going to speak a little bit about the Panihati festival today. Actually, in Nukaloka, we're going to be celebrating on Sunday. Where's Ditchin Ryan? He is my boss, so he asked me to speak about this. Because today is actually the day of Panihati. Yes. It's a day after the Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi. Very, very important day. And so we'll tell a story tonight. And then in Nukaloka, we're going to have this big festival where everyone will get a chance to sponsor different pots of condensed milk and chip rice and yogurt and chip rice and maybe even vegetables and chip rice and all sorts of nice things. And unfortunately, I will not be there because I'm going to be in Europe. Yeah, somehow or other, we're leaving on Saturday and we're going to Slovenia, first country. We're having like a retreat for some of the devotees in the forest.
Nice.
Yeah. For about 20 or 30 devotees retreat in Slovenia. Slovenia, if you don't know where it is, it's right on the border with Italy, Austria on one side, and Croatia on the other side. It goes backwards for you. And it's a very beautiful country, and we have many devotees there. I'm also the co-GBC in Slovenia. So we're, and after that, I'm going to Germany for a few days to visit with some friends, and to do some initiations there too. And then after that, I'm coming back after 2 weeks.
Yes, Prem will bring people she's cultivating in Slovenia.
What?
Yes, Prem and Margie will be coming.
Yeah, we have about six or seven people taking initiations in Slovenia. And most of those devotees were cultivated during COVID.
Yeah. Wow.
On the internet. One thing we've discovered is that we're able to reach more people than ever before. COVID has actually been a blessing for us. Not that getting COVID is a blessing. That's not what I'm... Not exactly what I'm saying. I mean, there have been some very sad things. We've lost some of our dear God brothers during COVID. But the devotee has to be flexible, so there's a saying in English, when life gives you a lemon, you make lemonade from it.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a positive side to each thing that occurs, anything that occurs. So we've been able to reach out. I mean, even right now, because there's only, I don't know how many people watching. It's not many people. It's only 20. But I had a class previously with almost 40 people watching. And that's just on Zoom. And then I think probably on YouTube and on Facebook, I have another 10, 20, 30 people watching right now. And this is constant. Of course, there's a downside that we get to have GBC meetings almost every day. Like tomorrow, you know, I have to head back tonight, so it's early tomorrow morning before everybody wakes up. I have to be on a GBC meeting. The reason the GBC meetings are so early in the morning is because India time. You know, we have to match up with India time, otherwise it'd be too late in India. So we have to go early, and they go like at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, which is a good time for them. And so we have these conferences, you know, sometimes three, sometimes four times a week. And we have also have North American conferences every Thursday. We have a North American, that's in the afternoon, fortunately. And then we have all sorts of other conferences and preaching programs. And pretty much I'm on the computer 24 hours a day.
Maybe communication has improved.
Yeah.
Between the GBC.
yeah, actually, the meetings have been much more efficient,
yeah.
I would say. Much more efficient and focused than they've ever been before. And then also, you can mute people. Which is actually a benediction, you know. Because, you know, any of you work in the business field, that in any group of people, you always have one person who speaks more than anyone else, right? I mean, I think some of you work understand that. Every group, you have a loud mouth, and then you have like someone who's very quiet and shy, and then you have other people who are frightened. So it gives actually everyone an opportunity to participate. So there's a real positive side, and I don't think the world is going to go back to the same way it was before, even after all this COVID stuff is over.
No, it's not. Yeah.
And you know, I'm very happy. I've reached out to more people, you know, cultivated more people than they've ever done before using modern technology. Because one, this has a downside to modern technology, is that one gets addicted to it. I haven't. But you get it, people get addicted to it, and they're always checking their Facebook feeds and things like that, and it's just, it's a waste of time. I just use technology to reach out and then to ask, answer questions that people have and interact with so many people. It's really nice. So you'll notice the new Goloka is filling up with new devotees now, a lot of new devotees coming. And a lot of that is from internet outreach.
And this phenomenon is all over the world. Every one of your God brothers, it's just so much multiplied. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Everybody's giving 3, 4, 5 classes a day.
A day, yeah. This is amazing. I mean, I'm just so happy. And then, you know, then so I have my portable computer that I take around with me, and because I can't use my phone for going online, because then I can only go out to many different venues using a computer, because I'm able to hook on right now to YouTube and Facebook simultaneously. So this is why I'm using the portable computer. So anyway, then another nice thing happened. It looks like we're going to be opening a restaurant in Raleigh, but I'll give you all information about that later on. One of my disciples has agreed to finance it, and then I think we found some different people to help.
Near the university?
Yeah, right across the street from the university.
So is that a public restaurant, or is that a light restaurant?
Light restaurant, yeah. No sit-down service or anything like that. It's going to be, you know, Hare Krishna Govindas. Govindas. Mm-hmm. But with, you know, Western recipes, mm-hmm. like bagels.
Donuts.
Well, I don't know about donuts. But, but you know, vegan things. Because there's no good vegetarian vegan restaurant in the whole area. I mean, even the Indian restaurants, many of them, I think most of them serve meat in the area. So this will, you know, be somewhere the devotees can go and eat. And there's a lot of children, let's say the children of devotees or people from India who want to take some nice food, especially in Raleigh, in North Carolina. So that's another thing that's happening. So a lot of exciting things. So anyway, let's talk about Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami is actually the epitome of renunciation. And his renunciation, when we hear about it, is actually quite frightening. Like, I remember when I joined the movement, I saw some devotees who were very renounced and eating very austerely, and I was very addicted to sweet rice, halva, pakoras, malpura, all sorts of other things. And I saw those devotees who weren't really addicted to those things, and I would pray to Krishna that I wouldn't get advanced in Krishna consciousness so that I would have to give up those things.
And now you did.
Yeah, now somehow or other. Well, old age. I don't know if it's advancement, it's old age.
Well, it's been for a long time, Maharaj.
Yeah, I know.
Renounced.
So, but this happens naturally. We want to make it very clear when we hear the story of Raghunath Das Goswami, it's not that it's like torturous type of renunciation. A devotee isn't actually renounced in a materialistic sense. A devotee is renounced in the sense that he's attached to Krishna, and automatically, as Krishna says in the Gita, Rasa Bharjam Rasya Prasavharam Jurasadi Bhartite, a devotee has a higher taste. In other words, he's enjoying so much that he forgets about everything else. So oftentimes I give the example of two young people that are in love, that they forget about everything else, about practicalities, you know, how they're going to maintain themselves when they get married and things like that. You know, practical, down-to-earth things. So that's why, generally, it's good for parents to arrange marriages. Because that people, when they're in love, they don't think clearly. So, anyway, but that's a material example of how someone is in a pleasurable situation or something that's very attractive, and then automatically they forget about everything else. So that's Krishna consciousness. So Raghunath Das Goswami, when we hear about his renunciation, we shouldn't think that he's suffering. He's enjoying like anything. Like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, you hear about the Nidra Hara Vihara. They gave up eating, they gave up sleeping, and it's just, oh my God, what's happening here? And they're kopina konkatashvato. They're only dressed in kopinas. You think, oh my God, is this the religion for me? I like better what Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Swami Jaya Jagadisha Hari, please give me a house by the sea. You know, that's the religion I like. You know, Sachin Ryan Kata, I love that stuff, you know. And Sudama Brahman, he's my guy, you know. You know, Sudama Brahman, he just gave a little chip rice to Krishna, and wow, he got a mansion and a new car, and, you know, a swimming pool. You know, that's Sudama Brahman's my type of devotee. You know, that's what people think. But the real enjoyment is, what is it? Yatma supersedate, savai pum sampara dhamma, yatma bhakti, hoksaje, ahitaki pratita, yatma supersedate. Is, you know, the heart being satisfied, because otherwise we'll never be satisfied. Bhukti mukti siddhi kam sakalaya shanta krishna bhakta nishkamata eva shanta. You know, whether we want something external or just liberation or powers or something like that, or become like president of the United States. Well, like you can see that past president of the United States, I always refer to him. He's definitely Ashanta, right? You know, can you actually say, even when he was in power, that he was happy? No, I mean, he's just a miserable guy. So you see the devotees like Raghunath Das Goswami, they're just like, hey, Rod, hey, Brajadeva, hey, Nanda, Shuno, Kutat. That's from the Prayers of the Six Goswamis by Srinivasacharya. They're just like feeling this great ecstasy of connection with Radha and Krishna, in separation, but it's great ecstasy. And they're running around Vrindavan. Hey, Radhe, oh, Radha, Radhe. Hey, Nanda, Shuno, where are you? Nanda Maharaj's son. Where are you? That's Krishna, of course. Where are you? And anyway, so this is how we should understand about Raghunath Das Goswami, and that's why he gave up everything. Of course, he was from a very wealthy family in those days, the Majumdar family, and his father and uncle, Haranya and Govardhan, they married to him to an extremely beautiful wife, like Melania. You probably don't know what I'm talking about. Like Donald Trump's wife, you know. And just to try to keep him at home, you know, they thought, well, this is going to really keep him enthusiastic. But he actually met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shantipur first, before he met Lord Nityananda. And he wanted to leave, and he was trying to run away after he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But every time, his parents not only gave him a beautiful wife and all that money and everything like that, but they actually had guards posted around him all day long. It's like the early days of the movement, we had these deprogrammings where devotees, they joined the movement, and all of a sudden, you know, they were shoved into a car and not allowed to sleep for 3 or 4 days. And then they brought beautiful women in front of them and tried to force them to eat meat. And then finally the devotees said, well, I have to go to the bathroom, and they jumped out the bathroom window and ran back to the Hare Krishna temple. There's many stories like that, actually. Narutaka, yeah. Many of our friends, they actually had that. And my father was more sophisticated. He just offered me a bribe. He said, you know, here's $100,000 to leave the movement. And at that time, 100,000, well, yeah, like a million today, you know, that was 50 years ago, over 50 years ago, and that's just, wow. That's a lot of money, you know, $1 million. And I said, you know, I was so renounced. Now, today, I'd probably take the money and join the movement again. Today, I'm more practical, but anyway, in those days, I was really sentimental. So Raghunath Das Goswami, getting back to the story, he was kept at home like that. And Lord Chaitanya advised him that just don't act foolishly. You should act like someone, like a lady who has a paramour, you know. So just act perfectly at home. And he acted so perfectly at home that when his father and uncle got in trouble because they kept too much of the taxes that they were collecting, because in those days, the tax collector actually got a percentage of the taxes that they were collecting as an incentive. And they kept too much, and they reported to the Muslim government, and they ran away, and Raghunath Das Goswami was imprisoned, and he talked his way out of it and arranged a business deal by bribing the Muslim, by saying, all right, I'll give you more money, you know, and you're like my uncle, you know, how can you do this to us, you know, village relationship. And so he was very, very expert. But he wasn't able to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's interesting, why wasn't he able to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time, even though he is an eternally liberated associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because his pastime showed us that in order to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you need the mercy of Balaram. Mm-hmm. There's a verse in the Vedic literature, Nayamatma Valahine Na Lopwa. Without the mercy of Balaram, no one can make any spiritual advancement. Of course, Balaram is the original guru. And Balaram and Nittai, same person. Mm-hmm. Balaram, Hoila, Nittai. So he hadn't yet gotten Lord Nityananda's mercy. So then what happened is that he eventually heard that Lord Nityananda was in this place called Panihati. And he decided to go there, and he was so humble, in spite of having so much money, because generally people have a lot of money, they're not humble. That he didn't even approach Lord Chaitanya. He just stayed some distance, Lord Nityananda, sorry. He stayed some distance away from Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda pointed him out and he said, there's that thief, Raghunath Das. Bring him to me. And then what happened is that they brought Raghunath Das to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda put his feet on Raghunath Das's head. Well, that's pretty amazing. And of course, it's described that Lord Nityananda was actually sitting on a rock, exhibiting a brilliance more than 1,000 suns at that particular time. And then he said, you're a thief. I'm going to punish you. And here's the punishment. You're going to feed all my associates chip rice and yogurt. That's a good punishment. And so Raghunath Das arranged for like 400 large pots, and they soaked all the rice first in hot milk. This is interesting. Soaked it first. Now, this is actually how you should do it. And then divided it up. One half of the rice was with yogurt, sugar, and bananas. And in India at that time, they had these amazing bananas, Champaka bananas. They, at that time, they didn't have so much of these modern... What's the type of bananas called? It starts with a C now.
Chitra.
No, the...
the one we have.
The long type.
Yeah, well, it's I can't remember the name, but they're all this clone from the one type. So it's the only type you have in the whole world now.
Yeah, they cloned it because the another type had some diseases.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, there's a new disease for the banana, so they have to come up with a new type of banana. And this type, there's only one. Basically, this is the main type. There's actually some Champaka bananas in India right now, the smaller ones. Yeah, there's actually three or four different types of bananas in India. And someone just bought me a whole bunch of these small ones to offer my deities.
And they have them in South America, so they have them everywhere.
Yeah. But the primary type you see now is like this long type. But the type that...
One of the favorite ones are the Chitri.
Chitri,
yeah. It's got that really nice fragrance.
Yeah, that's...
Cavendish is the main
one now. And that was actually, that was cloned from the original bananas. But the type they have in India is much sweeter, you know, the smaller ones, but the Chitra and the other types are much sweeter. And that's what Raghunath Das Goswami was using in his particular festival. So they had one half rice with yogurt, sugar, and bananas, and the other half was with condensed milk. It says right here, the Champa Kala banana, which is actually that small banana, it's a beautiful banana, which also had sugar, ghee, and camphor in it. Wow. And so Lord Nityananda and his associates sat on a raised platform and with some of the other brahmanas, and there was so much or so many people there, many of them had to sit in the river, the Ganges River, and eat their condensed rice or the chip rice of the Ganges River. And Raghava Pandit, who was one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, I think he's Dinishtha in Krishna's pastimes, he actually brought prasadam there. And Lord Nityananda said, "We're already got enough prasadam tonight, I'll eat at your place. I'm a coward boy, I belong to a community of coward boys, and I enjoy eating with all my friends." Mm-hmm. So you see, there's like Vaishnava Sangha, picnic. You know, so the Krishna conscious conception of God is actually, you know, the very fun God. Like you see, you know, who else has that particular conception? I mean, Allah? No, I don't think so. And in the Judeo-Christian world, Yahweh or Jehovah or whatever, if you tell people, someone's phone. If you tell people that God is having fun in the spiritual world, God has girlfriends, God has picnics, you say, you know, he should just behave himself and take care of us. You know, his whole business is to judge us and sit and give us what we want. Dear God, give us this daily bread, you know, et cetera, like that. Prabhupada would often talk about that. So Lord Nityananda's associates enjoyed like that. And Nityananda brought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Nityananda was taking a little bit out of each of the pots and feeding it to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And some people saw that. And as they were eating, they were all chanting, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari 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 Bol." I mean, really an amazing circumstance. And the shopkeepers came, because normally that's what happens in India whenever there is a festival. They set up shops. Like if you go to our Sridhar Mayapur, you'll see that all these little tin shops set up right outside of our temple. You can't move on the road anymore because of that. And also in Vrindavan now, all the flower sellers and everything like that. It's really amazing. As soon as there's a festival or people, and also the shopkeepers came to sell things. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he bought it all from them so that they could distribute. He could distribute it to everyone. And so that night, Lord Nityananda gave Raghunath Das his remnants, and then Lord Nityananda was given betel nuts, flowers, etc., and distributed them to everyone. And Raghunath Das ate and distributed all this to his associates, and that night they had chanting in the temple, and Lord Chaitanya came again to chant and dance along with the devotees. And here's another thing, that Raghava Pandit gave Raghunath Das Goswami, or Raghunath Das at this particular time, the remnants of prasadam, and he said, "If you eat the remnants of Lord Nityananda, you will be freed from all material entanglement." So in other words, if you approach Lord Nityananda, you become free from all your entanglement in this world. And actually the process given by the six Goswamis and by Lord Chaitanya and our acharyas is that first you have to approach Lord Nityananda, become free from the material entanglement. Second, then you can approach Lord Chaitanya to come to the ecstatic platform. And then when you've actually approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and connected with him, then you approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. So when we talk about approaching these different personalities, it means to approach them and get in their mood, to understand the mood. And what is the mood of Lord Nityananda? But, you know, Dina Hina Yata Chilo Harinabhu Durilo. Whether one is fallen, whether one is elevated, just to give everyone the holy name and save everyone. You know, and of course the evidence is Tarashaksha Jagai Madai, is Jagai Madai. And Lord Nityananda showed this because he was attacked by Madai and he was begging for Madai to have mercy. And we see Haridas Thakur also exhibited the same compassion. Haridas Thakur was being beaten in 22 marketplaces. Yet what did he do? He was actually concerned about the people who were beating him. That's amazing, isn't it? Haridas Thakur, there was the attempt to make Haridas Thakur fall down by having this prostitute come. And he was simply thinking of her, of helping her in Krishna consciousness. So this is a Vaishnava. And this is actually how you get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, by bringing others to Krishna consciousness and tolerating, because as was the Lord Kapiladeva states about the qualities of a Vaishnava, was it Tadikshiva Kurunika Surada Sarvadehina? First quality, he says, is Tadikshiva, toleration, and then second quality is Kurunika, which is mercy. And then the third quality is also related to that, Surada Sarvadehina, being a friend to all living entities. And then the fourth quality is also related to that, Ajata Shatrava, which means not he was enemy who was never is never born. In other words, not having any enemies, which is all tied in with tolerance, compassion, friend to all living entities. All these four qualities are all tied in. Of course, Prachanta too, and Sattva Sattva Bhushana. These are the qualities of Vaishnava. So this is how we approach Lord Nityananda, by manifesting these qualities. And then we can actually become ecstatic. In other words, if we, Yari Deka Tarika Krishna Vadesh Marge Guru Hoi Tore Desh. As Lord Chaitanya explained to Kurma Brahman, that our duty, because Kurma Brahman is an interesting story, he wanted to renounce this material world and follow Lord Chaitanya in a literal sense. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, your business is to help others to remain where you are and help others and actually become guru in the sense of instructing or giving everyone Krishna upadesh, instructions about Krishna. So this is the method to approach Lord Nityananda. And then one can become ecstatic. That is, that's what happens when you get to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You become ecstatic. And by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then one can approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and understand Radha and Krishna. And some people try to do the opposite. They try to approach Radha and Krishna without being compassionate to other people and spreading Krishna consciousness and engaging in the Yuga Dharma, which is Krishna Nam Sankirtan, or helping those engage in the Yuga Dharma, or giving people Krishna Upadesh, which is the instruction given by Lord Chaitanya to Kurma Brahman in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyway, so Raghunath Das Goswami got the mercy of Lord Nityananda at this particular point. And Lord Nityananda, incidentally, also asked all the Vaishnavas to bless Raghunath Das Goswami. And he put his feet on Raghunath Das Goswami. It was actually Raghunath Das at that time. Sorry about this. But Raghunath Das's head. And then he predicted what would happen in the future. Lord Nityananda said, in the future, you're going to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, and you're going to be put under the care of Swarup Damodara Goswami, which is actually what happened. So then Raghunath went home after this point. And he actually also, he gave a donation for all the devotees there and got the mercy of all the devotees. So anyway, so he went home. And from that point forward, he always stayed in the little temple to Lord to Durga, not Lord Durga, but the Durga Devi. It was outside of the house, the Durga Mandap. And what happened is that he didn't try to escape at that point until something happened. His spiritual master, Yadananda Acharya, came to him, and he said to him, and the spiritual master must have been in on this whole trick. He said to him, one of my disciples didn't show up to do deity worship. Can you help me? And Raghunath Das said, okay, I'll go and talk to the disciple. You go home and rest, Gurudev. So instead of talking to that disciple, I'm sure Guru Maharaj actually was in on the whole thing. So instead of helping that disciple or preaching to the disciple to go back to serve the deities, he ran away from home. And in the first night, he went 30 miles. You know, that's a lot. I mean, imagine, he led a very pampered life before. Here's someone from a very rich family, not accustomed to any sort of austerities before. And he goes through the woods is trying to escape from his family, because his family was thinking he was just following his guru's orders and trying to convince someone to come back to deity worship. So, and he lives in a cow shed, and then for 12 days he lives like that, and then finally he arrives in Jagannath Puri, and he only eats for 3 of the days on the way to Jagannath Puri. And then he meets Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya says something very interesting to him. He said that Krishna is very kind to you. He has saved you from this materialistic life. I mean, the example Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses is quite picturesque. He said it's like a latrine. Actually, he said something like the hole into which someone passes stool. But anyway, this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he said about Raghunath Das's father and uncle that they're like worms in stool. I wouldn't say that about anyone's parents, you know. Now, why is that? Because they were actually devotees. They weren't like demons, rakshasas, karmis, or anything like that. It's because they also had Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda's mercy, but they didn't take it. Because they had Haridas Thakur's mercy. There's a previous story about Haridas Thakur, who actually was sponsored by them. They took care of him. He preached, Haridas Thakur preached in their assembly. And there's a story about how someone was offended. Someone offended Haridas Thakur. Gopal Chakravarti offended him. But in any case, he described them as worms of stool because they knew better and they were still trying to enjoy this material world. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes if you're given something very high, like Prabhupada gave the example, forgive me for this example, he said it's like, this is from his spiritual master, it's like using a shalagram shila to crack nuts with. Mm-hmm. You know, you're given something very high and you don't fulfill your responsibility. I mean, it's like if you're given great power, responsibility, you have a great power or wealth or anything like that, you have great responsibility to help others. Or if you're given great knowledge and you don't use it, you know, if you just sit back and you neglect people basically being misled in this world, then you're responsible by neglect. So that's why you consider them worms. So worms and stool, because if you take the worms out of the stool, they jump back in. So it's not something that I've ever said about anyone's family. Don't worry. Don't worry, your children are safe. So... And I don't feel that way about anyone. That's just Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was placed under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami got an opportunity to take the remnants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 5 days. And then on the 6th day, he stopped doing that. He thought, now I have to become more renounced. So he started begging from the Singhadwara at the Lion Gate of the Jagannath Temple. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is interesting, if a renunciate is eager to taste different foods, his spiritual life is lost. And Prabhupada said, the Mahaprasadam in this regard is for the grahasthas, not for the sannyasis. When I first took sannyas, one of the things, the fringe benefits, was getting the Mahaprasadam plate at each offering. I thought this is, you know, better than going back to Godhead. Every time the conch shell would blow, you know, be a mahaplate coming for me. But later on I learned that wasn't my duty in spiritual life. Then Raghunath Das Goswami, so Raghunath Das Goswami understood this, and so he was begging instead of eating opulent food. And Raghunath Das Goswami asked for instructions as to what was his duty, and Lord Chaitanya said, don't speak any grami katha, that means ordinary village talk, nor hear about it, don't eat palatable foodstuffs, don't dress opulently, don't expect honor. This is like Trinadapi Sunichina, Thoroyivasi Hishana. Always chant Hare Krishna, and in your mind serve Radha and Krishna, in your heart and your mind serve Radha and Krishna. So Raghunath Das Goswami's parents at the same time were very worried about him. So they sent these servants along with money. And Raghunath Das Goswami didn't accept the service of the servants or the money for himself, but he was serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu twice a month. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took prasadam, twice a month at Raghunath Das Goswami's sponsorship. And then after a little while, Raghunath Das Goswami stopped doing that, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Rup Damodar Goswami, why has he stopped? And then Lord Chaitanya understood is because when you accept things from a materialist and you engage them just in your own sense gratification, then it can affect your mind. I mean, there's a lot of things in this world that affect our mind, such as eating food that's cooked by an impure person. It can actually make the mind wicked. Prabhupada said that's why, actually the Mahabharata also says, that's why Dronacharya, Kripacharya, and others, and Grandfather Bhishma, actually fought on the wrong side in the battle of Kurukshetra. In fact, Mahabharata describes that they were actually possessed. Not only were their minds made wicked, but they were possessed because they had eaten food, impure food, cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen. So one has to be very careful about purity. You know, in Vedic literature, there's all these injunctions about ritualistic purity, but we're talking more about spiritual purity. Making sure, because when people cook, their consciousness goes into the food that they're cooking. And it's not always that Krishna will accept what someone cooks. One has to have the right consciousness. I've had experience in deity worship that sometimes someone will cook for the deities who doesn't have the right consciousness, and you'll go to take the plate off the altar and Krishna's thrown it to the ground and everything is strewn all over the place. Like Krishna says, I don't want this stuff. So the whole point is yome bhakta prayachati. One has to offer to Krishna with love and devotion, with the right consciousness. So it affects whether it's an offering or not, and also affects the person who's eating the offering. So we have to be very careful to maintain our purity. I mean, whether you're a sannyasi or grahastha, it doesn't really matter. It's very important. I mean, sometimes people ask, well, why don't you eat in restaurants? Well, if it's a Hare Krishna restaurant, okay. But you know, I have to know who's cooking. You know, what their consciousness is like. And if someone's consciousness is not so good. I mean, when I was in the university, I was reading about what happens in restaurants. There was one book, and I forget the name of the book.
The Jungle?
Something like that, yeah. Where, you know, one time someone fell in a vat of Coca-Cola or 7-Up or something like that. Remember that?
And that is something else, but there is a lot of literature about this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so don't want to scare anyone. So yes, consciousness is very important. So anyway, so then Raghunath Das stopped accepting money and the servants from his father. After a while, Raghunath Das stopped begging at the Singhadwara gate. He just went to the free prasadam booth because he felt that his mind was getting affected by begging for himself. Because naturally, when you're begging, you're thinking, here's someone who gave yesterday, I'll give him my mercy, and here's someone who'll never give, you know, he's useless, hopeless, like that. There's that consciousness. So one has to be very, very careful. That's why a Brahmin, what to speak of a sannyasi, if someone is carrying out brahminical activities, he can't be doing his brahminical activities for financial benefit. Because otherwise, it pollutes the mind. Like if a Brahmana starts charging, I'll charge you $50 to give a name to your kid, you know, or $100 to do your funeral. Not your funeral. Obviously, someone else's funeral. Then it actually pollutes the mind. That's why traditionally the Brahmanas they would accept charity, and whether or not they got charity, they would actually perform the same service. And the doctors would be like that too. Because nowadays no one would go to medical school if it was like that, right? The doctors would do their service, and because doctors were Brahmanas naturally. And whether they got paid or whether someone gave a donation or not, it didn't really matter. So that's a Brahman. Anyway, so Raghunath Das went to the free prasadam booth, and Lord Chaitanya became so pleased that he was exhibiting this renunciation that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him his personal Govardhan Shila. and what's called Gunjamala. Gunjamala represents Radharani, and Gobernanshila is non-different than Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya's Gobernanshila, Lord Chaitanya would hold his Gobernanshila to his heart and smell it and cry over it. It was washed with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tears. And Lord Chaitanya explained to Raghunath Das Goswami that the Gobernanshila is directly the body of Lord Krishna, and one should worship the Gobernanshila in a mode of goodness, offering tulsi manjaris to the Gobernanshila. So it's understood that Lord Chaitanya was giving Raghunath Das shelter at Govardhan, and also Radharani's mercy by doing these two things. And then, after some time, Raghunath Das Goswami even stopped eating at the free kitchen. He actually became so renounced, he was eating rejected rice that even the cows wouldn't eat. And he would wash it with a little salt, wash it with water, and put a little salt on it. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and tried to take some of it. He did take one mouthful. And Swarup Damodar Goswami stopped him from taking any more. And he said, Lord Chaitanya said, why are you keeping all this nice prasadam for yourself? Whew. So as I said, you cannot imitate this. Prabhupada said that because Krishna, one time Prabhupada was talking about this renunciation of great devotees, how they could live by eating one pat of butter every few days. And Prabhupada said, because Krishna is the fire of digestion, mm-hmm. Krishna can manifest all the different nutritional elements from anything that a pure devotee eats. But don't try that. Don't try that. I mean, Krishna, anyway, we have to be careful what we eat. So, and Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with Raghunath Das Goswami for that renunciation that he allowed Raghunath Das Goswami to stay with him for the rest of the time that Lord Chaitanya was on the planet. And when Raghunath Das Goswami found that Lord Chaitanya Swarup Damodar Goswami had left this world, Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to go to Vrindavan to leave his body. He was feeling so much separation, he was going to jump from Govardhan Hill. But the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, the other five Goswamis, had another plan, because they understood that Raghunath Das Goswami had more association with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than any of the other Goswamis of Vrindavan. And so they made Raghunath Das Goswami sit and recite Lord Chaitanya's pastimes for several hours a day. And because Raghunath Das Goswami recited those pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was there at the same time. They actually resided very close to each other at this place on the banks of the Shyamakund, it's called the Manasapavana Ghat, the Bhajan Kutir, Raghunath Das Goswami, which he didn't build until he was forced to build it by Sanatana Goswami, because Krishna was shielding from tigers and Radharani was shielding him from the sun. And Sanatana Goswami insisted that Raghunath build a Bhajan Kutir. So that Bhajan Kutir was basically right next within a few feet of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami would hear about these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every day. And Raghunath Das Goswami was responsible for the excavation of Radhakund and Shyamakund. Actually, he didn't want to spend any money to do that. He didn't want to deal with money. So he didn't know how it was going to happen. Then Krishna sent a very wealthy man who was in Bhadarika Ashram worshipping Naranarayan, and he was instructed by Naranarayan to go to Raghunath Das Goswami and give him the money to excavate Radhakund and Shyamakund. And so Raghunath Das Goswami arranged for that, and then also Raghunath Das Goswami was the one who had a dream in which Yudhisthira appeared to him and told him that he and the other Pandavas were living on the banks of the Shyamakund, so don't cut as trees, so don't cut them down. So in this way, Raghunath Das Goswami achieved the mercy of Lord Nityananda during the Parihati festival and achieved the topmost position. He is our Prayojana Acharya. That means the Acharya of the ultimate realization of Krishna consciousness. There's three levels of realization, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha means to understand the different tattvas and their relationship with each other. Abhideya means how to act to cultivate Krishna consciousness. And then finally, Prayojan is the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness. So Raghunath Das Goswami exhibited that. And so that's the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So it's not that if you participate in the Paniyati festival, you will become renounced by the Lord like Raghunath Das Goswami. You don't have to worry about that. Because our renunciation is yukta vairagya. That is practical using things that Krishna sent to us in Krishna's service to propagate Krishna consciousness. So, I spoke longer than I had planned. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
You said Raghunath Das Goswami is our Prayojan Acharya.
Yeah.
Who are the other two?
Sanatana Goswami is the Sambandha Acharya. And Madan Mohan, they're the presiding deities of Sambandha. Sambandha means actually understanding the material energy, spiritual energy, the jiva soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, like time, karma, all those different factors, and their interrelationships. You know, the sambandha, the relationship, the tattvas, understanding the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And Abhideya, that's Rupa Goswami, and the presiding deity is Govindaji. And that means the process of devotional service, sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, etc., like that. And so he, of course, has written the Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is the law book for the Abhideya aspect of devotional service. And Prayojana, of course, is Raghunath Das Goswami. But the deity of Prayojana is Radha Gopinath, which was installed by Madhu Pandit, not by Raghunath Das Goswami, which is interesting because the other two acharyas were the ones who installed the deity that corresponds with their level, with the level that they taught. Of course, they're all on the highest level, but the level that they taught. Sanatana Goswami worshipped Madan Mohan, and Rupa Goswami worshipped Govindaji. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he was worshipping the Shalagram Shila, it's Govardhan Shila, and the Kunjamala, like that. Yeah. Yeah.
But then why, while writing that Govardhan Das, Govardhan
Dasvarya,
yeah, he highlighted that Govardhan is Haridasvarya.
Haridasvarya, yeah.
Yeah. So why, he altogether changed?
Well, let's look at a verse from the Brahmana Sangita. Dvaita Chuda Nadi Rananta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Lavyovanam Cha. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, but he has a multifarious, it's a lot, of expansions, unlimited expansions. And all those expansions are non-different from him. They're all the same person. He's all the same person. Looking for the right pronoun. They are all the same person, but acting simultaneously differently in different places and unlimited circumstances. So Govardhan is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is serving the Lord in the same way as you find Anantashesh, or Lord Nityananda serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or even a more, let's say, clear example is, I was thinking about this because I'm a Ram Bhakta, not a Christian Bhakta, but anyway, I was thinking of Lakshman. Lakshman never, he's God, he's non-different than Ram. He's Chaturvyuha, Vasudeva Sankarshan Prajuna Anani Ruda. And Lakshman never even leaves the side of Ram. He doesn't even have time for his wife. Of course he had children, but basically he's always there with Ram, massaging Ram's feet, reflecting Ram's feelings, carrying out Ram's direction. He was inseparable from Ram and always serving Ram. But he's God. So that's difficult for us to understand how the same person can be acting differently even in the same location with himself. Think about that. How Ram and Lakshman are the same person, but they're interacting differently. This is Yogamaya, of course. Simultaneously, he's serving himself and forgetting that he's serving himself, voluntarily forgetting he's serving himself, because Yogamaya, or Balaram and Krishna, you know, you have all these different manifestations of the Lord, or say Shanag and Lord Vishnu, or you have that story in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how the Mahavishnu wants to see Krishna, and he makes a trick, you know, he steals the sons of a Brahmin so that he can see Krishna, but they're the same person. If we don't believe in many gods, so when we talk about expansions, they're not different persons, it's just the same person acting differently, thinking differently, and serving each other simultaneously. I mean, we can understand how the same person can be different in different circumstances, but not simultaneous. Like Prabhupada gives the example, how a man, when he's home, he's a particular type, or manifesting a particular personality. But when he goes to the office, his co-workers don't call him dear. Hopefully not. Of course, nowadays you never know. You know, just, people don't follow regulated principles. But anyway, you know, like, or probably gives the example of a court judge, a Supreme Court judge, who's called Your Honor. And he's wearing a specific type of robe. And if you're in India or in a country connected with the UK, they actually put these wigs on too. I have some disciples who are lawyers in India and in Fiji, ladies who wear wigs, white wigs. It's kind of funny, you know. Thinking, what is this stupid thing? So they're in court and they're dressed up in a certain way, Your Honor. But if he comes home and his wife addresses him as Your Honor, it's like sarcastic, or else they've had an argument. So he's a different person with his wife, but it's not simultaneous. You see, he can only do one of the two things at the same time. Whereas Krishna can do unlimited things. Like right now, Krishna is appearing as all of his various incarnations in some universe. Somewhere Matsya Avatar is there, Kurma Avatar is there, Nrisimha Avatar is there, Rama, Lakshman, Balaram, Krishna. It's all happening simultaneously. And he's also Goloka Ivanibhashati Akilabhuta. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. How is that? That is a chincha. I mean, I understand it theoretically, but it's inconceivable, isn't it? It's completely inconceivable.
It's like you were saying, Maharaj, it's like a super Cohen.
Cohen, yeah. Like a Zen Cohen he's talking about. Like what's the sound of one hand clapping?
It's inconceivable. You can't understand
it. Can't understand
it. By the material mind.
I mean, I could theoretically, you know, talk about it, but I can't understand how one person can be even in two places at one time. How? I mean, it's impossible. I mean, I can't even multitask myself. I mean, I give a funny example sometimes. When I used to call my mother, I would try to multitask by typing on my computer at the same time. But there would always be like a pause, and she would say, "Are you typing on your computer?" I said, "No, Mom. I'm just talking to you. I know you're doing something else." Because she could hear the pause.
Yeah.
So a human being can't practically multitask that well. It's called time slicing. Mm-hmm. You can time slice, but you can't really do two things at one time. Because I think we can only be aware of like 8 or 10 different things sensory-wise at one time. Like right now, you know, I'm concentrating on the sound of the air conditioner. I can hear that, but I wasn't hearing it before. But now I can hear it. Isn't it? Now that I pointed out to you, you're hearing it? But most of you weren't hearing it before. You were listening to me, hopefully. Or thinking about, you know, when can we get out of, when are we going to take prashadam? But anyway, so the mind, isn't it? The mind is like that. It can really only focus on one or two things at one time. And when you point out something else, I say, hey, that is going on. There is a sound of a whoosh from the air conditioning or from the fan.
Right.
It's from the fan. It's probably the fan.
So what should be our mood while worshipping Govardhan? Should we
worship him as Krishna? That depends whatever your mood is. I worship him as Krishna. That's what Lord Chaitanya said. He is Krishna. And like Lord Chaitanya said to Raghunath Das Goswami, it's Krishna's body.
So we should offer him peacock feather?
And... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we offer him peacock feather, Gunjamala, because Gunjamala is Radharani. Why would you give Gunjamala to Govardhan unless he was Krishna? Because Gunjamala actually represents Radharani.
And he himself said that he was Krishna.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he himself said, you know, I and Govardhan are the same. Yeah. You know, they have that pastime. But he's serving Krishna too.
Yeah.
But he himself, you know, in the Bhagavatam, he says, you know, I and Govardhan are the same.
All right. So you were talking about that Krishna would accept the prasadam if it is not cooked in right consciousness.
Yeah.
We should also be conscious of eating, like who is cooking. So, you know, one is that, you know, we eat still some of the things from outside, like, you know, we eat chips and we say, oh, you know, it's like being processed by machines and we get bread and, you know, things like that.
No comment.
So
I refuse to answer on the grounds that it may intend to incriminate me. I have a right to remain silent. I have a right to an attorney.
Anything you say.
Anything I say maybe use it against, use the court of law against me. Well, I think by my silence I've answered the question without answering it.
Related thing which I had is that when we are cooking, like, you know, although we try to be in good consciousness, cooking for Krishna and devotees, and, you know, ultimately it's going to be offered to the altar, whether at home or in the temple. But being human, being in the material world, we are still influenced by a lot of thoughts, you know, environment, circumstances. So how do we know that, you know,
just try your best.
Trying, but would Krishna accept it?
Just try your best. Just try your best. Krishna will accept it. I mean, Krishna doesn't expect perfection from us at this particular juncture. All we got to do is try our best within our ability. I remember seeing Prabhupada cook. When Prabhupada was cooking, it was amazing. He would never even talk when he was cooking. It was like, and eating too. Both things to Prabhupada, I remember. See, it was probably just like nothing, just like pass this, you know, maybe there was a talk, you know, pass the salt or something like that. And it was very quick. Probably could cook a whole feast in an hour. Like that. And there's stories about that too.
Yeah.
And then when Prabhupada would take prasadam, it was like meditating on the Krishna being the prasadam, the taste of prasadam.
Isn't just being aware of that question that you're asking a sign that you're actually endeavoring to do the right thing, and therefore Krishna sees your actual endeavor, and we're not 100% in control of our consciousness, but we're trying.
We just try. We just try our best. I mean, I'm. I gave up feeling guilty a long time ago. You know, you have all these injunctions, you know.
So, Maharaj, if you offer chips on this.
I'm not going to get into it, but, you know. You
make it.
One has, I think, rather than feel guilty, one just has to be honest about one's position. And not think that one is more advanced than one actually is. And be honest. I mean, the real problem is dishonesty. Not that we have some other motivations. That we try to portray ourselves or think of ourselves as being more advanced than we actually are. I think, you know, honesty is so important. Internal honesty. You know, just like, you know, I know where I'm at. and I'm trying my best. I'm praying to Krishna, and, you know. And that's also humility, too. I mean, Prabhupada was so humble himself and a pure, absolutely pure devotee. He said with his one prayer, I have no hope of direct service in the coming crores of births. You know, here's Prabhupada saying that. And of course, he is directly serving, you know. But he's thinking like that. Isn't that amazing? I have no hope of direct service in the coming crores. If anybody knows what a crore is, that's a lot. Not even lakh, you know, crore. Crores of birth. So I think it's, you know, just humble. You know, I'm just trying to serve Krishna. And not to think less of yourself, to think of yourself less. I mean, humility doesn't mean to just denigrate yourself, which is useless anyway. I'm just saying, you know, wherever I am, and I'm struggling, you know, I'm trying my best to serve Krishna. I'm praying to Krishna. I have this Ashabandha. Ashabandha means hope against hope, that I know Krishna is going to save me. It's like the story about Mukunda. One time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you can't come into my association. And so they asked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when is he going to get your association again? And then they said, well, after like a crore of births or millions of births or something like that. And then Mukunda became very happy. So we have to, you know, utsahan nishya dharyat tatat karma vartan. Enthusiasm, patience, determination like that. So we just don't try to be a pure devotee in 10 minutes or less. You know, so you hear the stories about Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, I'm just not, I appreciate it very much, but I'm not going to try to imitate it. You know, Anusar Anukar, best thing is to try to understand his mood in serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, anyway.
In line with these questions about humility and our level, so what comes to mind is Hiranya and Govardhan were really advanced.
Very advanced devotees.
So, and you know, I know I'm living in 21st century America. Life is pretty, you know, cars and computers, and life is easy.
Yeah.
So how do we, or how do I, I'll be, keep myself from really being like Hiranya and Govardhan? I mean, am I not like one of those worms?
Well, first of all, they're very advanced devotees. I wouldn't mind Lord Chaitanya saying that about me. And I'm sure that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it in such a way that it got back to them somehow or other, so that made them more serious in devotional service. Lord Chaitanya wouldn't say something just to be critical or to be mean to someone.
Well, I wasn't even thinking about mean, but I was thinking about the fact that, you know, it's easy to become very enamored with material things.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, Amazon's right there.
Actually, it's not right there, it's right here.
It's, you know, always, it's
all I
always,
have to do is push something down there.
You know, we can conjure up things. When we were kids, you couldn't do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just have anything you want, anytime.
Yeah, it's like Aladdin's lamp, but it's built into a phone. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? You just rub it, and the genie comes out.
It's called CD.
Yeah, 24 hours later, you know. It appears at my door.
It seems to me that if we become neurotic about our practices,
yeah,
we are already deviating.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
See, there's the saying half the cup.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to become, I mean, what we do is we engage everything in Krishna's service. And you can't, like, to become neurotic or guilty about things. The main thing is to have good sadhana, to understand the process works. You know, I think good sadhana is the essential thing. You know, I know this is hard, rising early in the morning, chanting good rounds, and eating purely, you know, being pure in our eating, sleeping, meditating, and defending.
And a good association with devotees.
Good association with devotees, hearing regularly, helping others. I mean, one thing is, I was also listening to a class, I've heard this a million times, but trying to bring others to Krishna consciousness. You know, Krishna says, no one is more dear to me. So, you know, Prabhupada said, we shouldn't try to see Krishna, we should try to have Krishna see us. So, I don't really worry so much about these things. And if I, I wouldn't be driving around the car I'm driving in if I was worried about these things. But I just, somehow or other, I try to reach out to people and bring people to Krishna consciousness, and I know that I'm going to get some special mercy. You know, I have all this technology, which is actually my material nature even. I mean, I hate to admit it, because I studied technology. I was using computers before anyone knew what a computer was. You know, at university, I learned how to program a computer when we used punch cards. Yeah. And then, you know, a computer the size of 20 times this building, 100 times this building, was had the power of my mobile phone at that point.
Less problem.
Yeah, less. Less. And, you know, I was enamored by it. And I know I'm using what I am enamored with in Krishna's service to reach out to people. I'm not using it for any other purpose. I like doing it. You know, I frankly have to admit, I like computers. I like technology. I love it. So, but I'm actually using it in Krishna's service. So that's Varnashram also. You know, whatever is your psychophysical nature, whatever is your propensity, you use it in Krishna's service and you don't get neurotic about it. You just use it, and the way I'm using it is to bring people to Krishna consciousness. I'm not using it for myself. I don't go to restaurants. I don't go to bars. There's only one time I went to a bar to try to save someone. One of our devotees, he left the movement and was playing piano in a piano bar. So I went into the piano bar, sat down, and he was playing. He had these girls sitting on the piano. And he plays his set and he opens his eyes. What are you doing here? I've come to save you. So I don't use that. I don't go anywhere else except for serving Krishna. With all this technology, I don't do anything else except for serving Krishna. What?
That's plenty to do.
Plenty to do. And I think I'm using it pretty effectively. You know, I still have 20 people watching me after 2 or 3 hours here. And, you know, Facebook too, they're watching, and YouTube also. So I'm just using, I'm using what I'm good at, what I like to do for Krishna. And I think that's all we need to do to help, to bring others to Krishna consciousness. And I know a lot of people have been brought to Krishna consciousness by my use of technology. And I'm not going to feel guilty about it either. You know, it's just, life is too short to feel guilty. But I'm having a good time and I'm enjoying myself.
I think that's a switch of attitude.
Yeah.
To gratefulness and wonder and to be amazed that we are actually practicing at whatever level we're capable of.
Yeah.
So to have this very positive outlook. Mm-hmm. And then the other problem is just cease to exist.
Yeah. That's actually a good point. You mentioned gratitude. So I feel like that. I'm so happy, so grateful that Krishna's allowing me to do this. I mean, really, I wouldn't want to do anything else in the three worlds other than this. And then Krishna just allowed me to fulfill my dream. You know, I'm so, thank you, Krishna. Thank you, Prabhupada. So, you know, that gratefulness is really important. Thank you for mentioning that.
Optimism.
Optimism, you know. And then also developing a mood of service, thinking that, you know, really I'm just supposed to serve, you know, and ultimately, you know, whether I go back to Godhead or not is really not important as long as I can continue serving. I mean, that's really the important thing.
That's so interesting, Maharaj, is that, Rick went back here after 11 years.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, in the Middle East, which is like full of the Indians. And when we were here, there was a lot of guilt and a lot of the negative emotions,
right,
related to the fanaticism that,
yeah,
that ISKCON was. Then we got there, and obviously,
transformed.
Know, they have that too. They have the same thing because it's coming from India. So it started from America. It went all the way to India,
yeah,
and it's all in all the practitioners. So it's really nice to come back to America and see the transformation. Mm-hmm. So it's like everything happens in America, starting from Prabhupada's movement. Okay, and I'm hoping that this is the next step of Prabhupada's movement that goes from fanaticism to relishing the movement and enjoying the,
yeah,
you know, like enjoying our devotional service. And
it's up to us.
Well, but what I'm saying is that it's here. It's going to happen from America, and then maybe it's going to affect the rest of ISKCON. And
which Jadrani's mentioned is interesting. They, you know, there's a tendency, that previously, you know, what you said, things were much more fanatic and conservative. I want to use conservative, but there's a great element of, right now we're discussing many things on the GBC, such as, you know, Vaishnavi Dixit gurus and everything like that. And there's a whole conservative element that, you know, I'm actually on the mediation on the liberal side. And there's other devotees. One of my godbrothers, I can mention his name, Basu Ghosh Prabhu, who is from America, and he's more conservative. He's more conservative than anybody from India I've ever met in my whole life. And so it's really interesting, the transformation of a lot of people, but a lot of people are still in that conservative mode. And I think that ISKCON will become more and more open and relaxed and just loving, with loving relationships between each other as time goes on.
And it's going to come from America.
Has to come from America.
And because we were just talking about that at this, I'm serving on this North American committee.
Yeah.
On to do with this country 3.0.
Oh yeah.
The committees, and it's called radical personalism.
You're right.
And so that's what we were talking about as well, that all this radical personalism has to come from America, same as Hare Krishna movement has come from America. And then it will get transformed, the rest of the ISKCON movement as well. So.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, ISKCON or Prabhupada's movement is a radically personal movement.
It is, but we lost it. So we need to...
Yeah, we lost it.
Yeah.
Actually, in the beginning days, when I joined, we had it in America.
Oh, yeah, it was more personal than anybody else.
Yeah, everybody was just like brother and sister in the temple, and, you know, and it was just...
Well, we were pretty fanatical about things.
Well, but that came a little later.
That happened then, yeah.
Yeah, when I joined, it was before book distribution.
Well, I joined Radhadamra.
Yeah, yeah. So that.
Fanatic.
Yeah, but it wasn't. See, when I joined, it was before anybody was distributing Prabhupada's books. We had all the books stacked up, and nobody knew what to do with them. And so, it was like, you know. And then people got very fanatic after that point. And then some devotees went to India, became even more fanatic. They came back from India. As sannyasis became frightening at that particular point. You know, Americans. Because the new fanatics are worse than the old fanatics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and Prabhupada chastised that behavior.
Yeah,
all along.
Prabhupada chastised behavior. Like he was, that's one reason why he was going to send Tamal Krishna Maharaj to China.
Yeah, they were going to send all the women to Australia at one time.
Yeah. Yeah.
The penal colony.
Yeah,
that's what you should send a lot of people out.
Yeah, Tamal Krishnamar has made the proposal that all the women and householders in ISKCON should be sent to Australia.
Absolutely.
You should have told him that the British had thought about that a long time.
But then it was shot down. But, you know, so it was a maturing time, and we were all like 21, 22, 24 years old. We were all kids. So.
No idea what the traditional culture was.
I mean, it takes time for people's brains to actually develop properly.
I think it changed when the person, like when it became so big that Prabhupada couldn't talk to each person directly. That's when things became fanatic, because, you know, everybody was thinking with that 21-year-old brain. You know, so...
Yeah, when Prabhupada was directly dealing with everyone, things were just much more personal.
Yeah.
I was at the tail end of that. I joined...
Maybe my favorite about when he first joined the temple, it was just like a completely like a family.
Yeah.
It's like in different. Like there's three different movements. You have like the people joining the 60s, and then the early 70s. But by about 1974, it became, huge.
Yeah, it was really huge at that point.
And now the reform is coming.
Yeah, now it's let's get it right now.
Yeah, 2015 onwards or 16 onwards.
Yeah. I think we should take Prashad now because it's getting late.
I thought we did the Guru Reform in 1985, Mark.
Yeah, I remember that. We had a 50-man committee that...
I remember we had a huge meeting.
What?
And we'd like to thank you so much for your presence here and gracing this occasion. And all the Vaishnavas, folded hand, we back to your feet that if you can pray for our mother, Krishna.
Yes, definitely we'll pray for your mother.
We'll be adding more to your mercy. So thank you so much again. We personally would like to serve everyone to Prashad by our own hands.